views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Victims to Victorious. For about 15 or 20 minutes, we will be discussing harm reduction methods to reduce gun violence in the African American communities. We do welcome callers. I'll give that number out in about 10 minutes. If you're not familiar with harm reduction models, the epidemiologist, and that's a tricky word to say, Lisa Rose-Rodriguez, has published a few articles on using those methods to reduce the at-risk behaviors of African-American males who are at risk for being perpetrators of homicide and victims of homicide. So first I'm going to introduce you to harm reduction. I'm sure many of our African-American male listeners know of someone who has been shot or has been shot themselves, and I might share something anecdotal later. To begin with, if you are listening online, you can go to LinkedIn and look for Lisa Rose-Rodriguez. You can follow the article with me. I am going to read something from her article, Reducing Gun Violence, Morbidity, and Mortality in African American Males by Applying Interpersonal Communication Skills. So harm reduction programs identify people at risk for harm, and then those at risk are taught to negate their own risk to improve healthcare outcomes. Now that might sound like a whole lot of language that you're unfamiliar with because your profession is different. However, as children, we learned about stop, drop, and roll. As children, Smokey the Bear told us not to play with fire. Those are actually very well documented effective campaigns where people themselves are monitoring their own risks. For those of you who work in drug treatment or substance abuse, you use harm reduction models with your addicted clients. For instance, if you have a heroin addict, your facility, your nonprofit might be able to pass out clean needles to a heroin addict so that he or she doesn't get the infections and the abscesses from using dirty needles, or God forbid, a communicable disease like HIV or hepatitis from sharing needles. So harm reduction, in this case, identifies African-American males who are at risk. So how would that be done? Lisa Rose-Rodriguez asked that if you are a nonprofit, that you contact her on LinkedIn. And one of the ways she has is to give a survey, to conduct a survey with your African American males in your mentoring group or at your church. And there are a series of questions that will identify whether or not you, your African American male population is at risk. One of the risk factors is dropping out of high school. Another risk factor is no father in the home. Another risk factor is if he has been victimized as a felony assault victim. A while ago, the First 48 had an episode, and they are archived. And, of course, many of us have DVR now. And that particular episode, all they did was show people of interest in previous crimes of homicide, usually by a handgun, who were then murdered. And so the episode showed that they traveled in the same circle. There's a lot of social research, sociology research on networks of people. They traveled in the same network. They were victims of a felony assault. They were witnesses of a felony assault. And then in that particular episode, everyone they showed previously had then been murdered as a result of the proximity, the neighborhood, the people that they were running with. It is 8 minutes after 11 Eastern Time. If you just tuned in, I am on Black Talk Radio. My name is Angel Fall, and we are discussing how African-American males who are overrepresented in the homicide statistics, particularly gun violence ones, can be saved from becoming a victim, hence the title Victim and Victorious. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with some of the statistics, U.S. News and World Report is also, they are also able to give you some statistics of what's going on across the country for African-American males. That is, I'll give you that link, usnews.com, news articles, 2016 race and homicide in America by numbers. That is one article. The number, and I'll read from that one, the number of black people who killed whites and the number of whites who killed black people climbed to levels not seen since 2008. The statistics show that 500 killings of white people attributed to blacks last year were the most since black perpetrators were determined to be responsible for the homicides of 504 people in this particular area. Interracial killings, I know because of people's racism or fear of others or xenophobia, whatever you want to call it, has a lot of white people frightened when they see African-American men. However, most African-American men are likely to be killed by other African-American men. And in this discussion, we are not ignoring females per se, because there is definitely a relationship between gun violence and interpersonal or conjugal violence when you have an intimate partner with whom you have children or live with. We understand that, but we are focusing on what the epidemiologists call an overrepresentation. So there are so many African American men for whom this is a really great risk. African American people make up 13% of the population, yet comprise 51% of the homicides. You're listening to Victims to Victorious. I'm Angel Fall. And we're going to read another article from the epidemiologist Lisa Rose Rodriguez, who's really out there as a person of color trying to get a dialogue going. You go to her webpage, she is looking for nonprofit funding for her project. So an article that she published in 2017. This looks at a specific town. I know we're broadcasting from the Midwest, so we're going to take a look at what's going on in Chicago and what she proposed for the city of Chicago, which, of course, we know has some of the rates of homicide. I'm so sorry that I lost my train of thought. So in the article, Chicago's New Prohibition Era, Homicides in 2017, The epidemiologist names some victims. I'm going to read from that, and hopefully you'll begin to understand what's going on in this epidemic of violence, who's at risk, and how it can be stopped. Antoine Watkins, Lavelle Morgan, Quentin Payton, Titus Jackson, all have been victims of homicide in March of this month. This article is written in 2017. Each one descended from the womb with hopeful cries and aspiring breaths. Each excited with darker utterances, mournful cries, and rattled last breaths. These men are unknown to me, and I'm pained by their blood, creating morbid patterns of warm, sticky death on cold pavements. The end of life has a pattern. The winding down has recognizable twists, bumps, space, and constrictions. My fascination with color and patterns began when I watched my mother, an art teacher, grading her elementary school students' papers. It ended with my becoming an epidemiologist. I'm not reading from the article anymore, but I realize I haven't defined epidemiology. Epidemiology is the study of diseases and populations, and people with this particular degree, MPH, are working on policies, protocols, etc., education, to change people's perception of the risk, to identify and codify the risk, and most importantly, impose a solution. So Lisa Rose Rodriguez, another epidemiologist, particularly those at Johns Hopkins University, believe that this is an epidemic, meaning that there is an outbreak of gun violence, and there are a variety of solutions that can be implemented. So I'm going back to reading from her article. In this profession, we study the patterns of diseases and populations. Now she's defining it for the listener. Violence is a disease. That means it has predictable rates within populations. The first definition of an outbreak is how many of these cases are compared to what normally occurs in the population. Very often, location defines the frequency of the disease prevalence or pattern of its presence in this population. So right now, people calling in to discuss this know that if you live in large urban cities, Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, New York City, you are accustomed to hearing incidents of gun violence on the 11 o'clock news. And in those cities, African-American males between 18 and 40 are overrepresented in the gunshot wound count. That means more of them are getting shot. Again, the national statistic, African-Americans make up 13% of the population by this count, but over 51% of the homicides. Going back to the article, which is on LinkedIn, it's called, let me give you the name of the article again, Chicago's New Prohibition Era, Bottling Homicides in 2017. Of course, that's a reference to Al Capone and bootlegging, etc., when Chicago was known to be a very violent town. The article says, location defines the frequency of the disease prevalence or pattern of its presence in this population. How many people in the mainstream believe that African American population should accept this pattern? Who's willing to break it? The label of each young man's life got printed attached to that bottle, but the contents were never fully aged. If you're listening and you would like to join the conversation, we will open up the phones shortly. In about 10 to 15 minutes. The phone number to call is 1-704-802-5056, 1-704-802-5056. If you are on Twitter, follow me at On Air Angel. And if you're already not following Black Talk Radio, please do so. On Air Angel. And I have several trends out there this morning and from last night. You can log on to Twitter and look at one of the trends I have is, have you been shot? Another tweet I have is at the blacktalkradionetwork.com. Join the show by calling in. I just gave the number. I will give it again. The number is 704-802-5056. Returning to epidemiologist Lisa Rose Rodriguez's article, where she is proposing that African American men also be more identified as victims. Because when you're identified as a victim in a healthcare model, you will get assistance. I believe that this reaction that she has is based on what I hear, even as a member of the media. When an African American male is killed in your town of Chicago, those of you who are listening in Detroit, Atlanta, if he has a criminal record, that comes out in the news. For instance, the anchor will say, Raekwon Johnson was well known to police because he had previous arrests. When there is a white male victim, they seldom discuss his criminal history. And when a white male perpetrator using a long gun, and we might have the ability to talk about the differences between long gun homicides, the rapes, and handguns, when he is the shooter, the media time and time and time again does entire segments on and packages on what went wrong with this white male. The truth is, most white men who use guns to harm another use it to harm themselves. Going back to the article, she asked, epidemiologist Lisa Rose Rodriguez asked a few questions, and she makes some statements. She says, wars themselves have patterns. The borders and boundaries in the dispute are often drawn, then redrawn, based on the victories of the opposing forces. I do, in fact, have a battle plan. Who out there can sit at the negotiating table with me to put a plan in action that actually decreases the mortality rates, that's the actual death rates, for homicides in African American males? I need foot soldiers who can advance on this enemy with the weaponry of social science, policy, and humanity. So that's an article from LinkedIn discussing the ability to reduce the incidence. That's the number of times the gunshot wounds occur in African American males. So let's return to the proposal that she has that I've seen for grassroots events and other stakeholders, policymakers, et cetera, who want to reduce gun violence in African American population. There is a larger population, of course, and we are not ignoring mass shootings. I lived in Connecticut during the Sandy Hook incident. We are just focusing on the people who have what the epidemiologists call the burden of the disease. So reducing gun deaths in Black males or African American males is the subject of this show. You're listening to Victims to Victorious, and that is actually going to be our focus every week. So more than 85% of Black homicides are killed with most Black men are killed with a short gun. So one of the larger policies, I said shotgun, I mean handgun. One of the larger policies that public health researchers and lawmakers are studying are waiting periods for acquiring a handgun. Many jurisdictions have a waiting period. That means that once you apply, you have a time frame to wait in order to get the gun. Now, in the harm reduction model, that can be part of the harm reduction model. However, that's connected to policymakers. When you have a harm reduction model, it's actually more individualized. So earlier at the top of the show, I mentioned that this epidemiologist who I follow, Lisa Rose Rodriguez from the University of Connecticut, she has designed a survey to give out to young Black men who are in, for instance, the 100 Black Men program, other type of mentoring programs. So once the young man identifies himself at risk, then he will be given a counselor to work on conflict resolution. Many of the African-American males who get in these altercations solve the altercation by pulling and drawing the gun. And then, of course, we're talking about who gets to shoot, who's the shooter, and who becomes shot. The Violence Policy Center, you can visit them at vpc.org. They discuss about Black homicide shootings, and they use the word Black homicide victimization. And my hat goes off to them, because I do want more African-American males to be seen as victims. The tone that often is on the news with identifying the victim as a criminal dehumanizes him. I'm going to say that again. If you're a person of the media listening and your producer says, well, I'm using a fictitious name here, Daquan Johnson had 2 priors for burglary, dropped out of high school, whatever information that they may even gather on social media, that dehumanizes the victim. We are all going to die. And the indignity of dying because of an altercation with gunshot wounds is horrific, not just for the loved ones, but as a society, we should be horrified. I'm going to read a little bit now from VPC.org. That's V like Victor, P like Paul, C like Charles. The devastation homicide inflicts on Black teens and young adults is a national crisis, yet it is all too often ignored outside of affected communities. That's kind of magnifying and codifying what I just said. To educate the public and policymakers about the reality of Black homicide victimization, each year the BPC releases Black homicide victimization in the United States, which details state by state the circumstances of all reported homicides with Black victims. If you go to their site, they have gathered data. Their latest publication of data is from May 2019. It's about 5 minutes to 11:30, and I know that we do have people interested in joining us. The number to call is 704-802-5056. I am Angel Fall. You can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter name is On Air Angel. That's On Air Angel. And I've got some trends and some tweets going on right now. I'm going to direct you to them if you're on the computer. The hashtag, have you been shot? I'd like to know if there's anyone out there who has experienced being shot. Another tweet that I have out there is for you to go and look at some of the epidemiologist Lisa Rhodes Rodriguez's videos and lectures. One of them is at the UConn Health Center. You can see that on her Twitter account. I'm sorry, you can see that on her LinkedIn account, Lisa Rhodes - Rodriguez. And hashtag have you been shot? The number to call is 704-802-5056. So I want to go back to the report of Black homicide victimization in the United States. So what we've done so far is described harm reduction. We've described public policy that can be made to help with harm reduction, like asking your legislator, if you live in a state without a waiting period for handgun purchase, to ask your legislator or your local community, depending on how it's governed, if there could be such a thing as a waiting period. Excuse me. So here's some more statistics of the people that we are talking about. Of the 7,756 Black homicide victims report came out in 2019 and the data was collected in 2016. So sometimes there is a lag time when you collect data. So of the 7,756 black homicide victims, 6,748 were male. If you do the math, that accounts for 87%. I'm going to say that again. Of the 7,756 black homicide victims in the United States of America in 2016, according to VPC.org, 6,748 were male, and that accounts for 87% of the victims. Conversely, only 13% were female. Now let's go on to most common weapons, because in Victims to Victorious, our blog talk radio show here on the Black Talk Radio Network, we are interested in what happens to the African American population. And in this discussion for homicides, and I'm reading from the article at VPC.org, for homicides in which the weapon used could be identified, and that's a reporting artifact. The coroner cannot always tell what the victim has gone through, believe it or not, because sometimes bullet wounds are puncture wounds and sometimes knife wounds are puncture wounds. Alrighty then. 87% of black victims were shot and killed with guns, and of course those are handguns. The name of the show is Victims to Victorious. If you want to call in, you are a person who has been shot, a person who wants to reduce the gun violence, a person who wants to know how training can be done at your nonprofit or grassroots organization, by Alisa Rose Rodriguez. So for homicides in which the victim to offender relationship could be identified, 75% of black victims were killed by someone they knew. And this is what I had mentioned at the top of the show about the first 48 hours having an episode of people in a certain circle who were interviewed when someone else was shot, and then the person who was a person of interest or who was interviewed when someone else was shot was then shot and killed shortly after the airing of the show. There are 116 incidents reported as justifiable homicides of black victims killed by law enforcement in 2016. And of course, that's going to be a very, very controversial statistic if people choose to engage in the discussion. So if you are listening, we'll be happy to take callers now after the station identification.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, we're back. I'm Angel Fall. This is Black Talk Radio. The name of the show is From Victims to Victorious. You can follow me on Twitter at On Air Angel. That's On Air Angel. And we are discussing how you, as a stakeholder in the larger society, can do something for a population that's overly represented in the homicide deaths, particularly by handguns. Because we know that the internet radio has no boundaries like terrestrial radios. Radio, you could be listening in a foreign country, you could be listening next door or across timelines. I'm going to look at a couple of the states that are represented and discussed in this article found at VPC.org. The article is called Black Homicide. It's actually a publication, a report for the black homicides that were monitored in 2016. The report came out in 2019. In 2016, the national black homicide victimization rate was 20.44 per 100,000. For that year, Missouri ranked first as the state with the highest black homicide victimization rate. So if you're listening in Missouri, we'd like to hear from you. Its rate of 46.21 per 100,000 was double the national average for black homicide victimizations. So that is a state where if there are grassroots people who want to understand how they can go from being victim to victorious, call in and look at the data that's out here. And I highly recommend that you go to the LinkedIn webpage of Lisa Rose-Rodriguez, who will be able to come and show your organization how to identify young men at risk so that they can self-evaluate, they can get better conflict resolution skills, so that they don't have to solve an argument over a girlfriend, an argument in a card game, an argument over a card with a 9mm or some other type of handgun. The states with the highest black homicide and victimization rates are taken a look at in this article. If you are online with me, you can follow the article. It is the website vpc.org/studies/black-homicide-19, and it is a PDF file. Make sure you can open a PDF file. Just in the previous segment, I discussed harm reduction models. How do you identify African-American males who are at risk? Many of you who are running mentoring programs, many of you who know of someone whose father is already incarcerated on a violent crime, these are predictors. In epidemiology, there are predictors of gun violence, and who's going to use the gun violence to solve a problem? What we do see is there is a direct relationship between young men who have been victimized by gun violence who then later use it against other people. So the states with the highest homicide rate for African American males, Missouri, Wisconsin, West Virginia, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Tennessee, Louisiana, and Pennsylvania. That's from 1 to 10. In 2016, according to this report, Missouri had one. Now, when you look at statistics, you also have to realize if a city has a larger population, that means the denominator is larger than a city with a smaller population. So the city with the smaller population could, when their number, the top number goes up, it's a greater proportion. I hope I explained that right. If I didn't, and you're a math professor or an epidemiologist, or you can explain that more to the listeners. So Missouri had a rate of 333 homicide rate per, I'm sorry, there were 333 homicides in Missouri in 2016 when the data was collected. And this is a rate of per 100,000. So that actually gives Missouri a rate of 46.21. Illinois had 685 homicides of African-American males last year. However, their rate is 36.4 because obviously Chicago was is a highly populated city. And let me back up and say, we already know that 87% of all the homicides by handguns are done to African-American males. The statistics that I'm reading now for the state are simply the number of homicides, and we know that 87% of those are going to be male. Again, I'm not negating female deaths But when you align yourself with epidemiology and outbreaks, you try to solve the people, the number of people who are experiencing the event the most first. And believe it or not, the other numbers can be affected by that. Illinois had 685 homicides when the data was taken. Kentucky had 106, coming in at number six. Michigan had 402. Tennessee, 323. Louisiana, 423. And Pennsylvania, 415. The number to call is 704-802-5056. You'll hear a prompt, and you will press the star key twice if you want to mute your conversation. And that's good for listening to others. But when you want to speak, hope I got that right. So my sound engineer, Scotty, can also help with that if you call in, 704-802-5056. If you're answering my trend on Twitter, have you been shot? I'd like to hear you tell your story by calling in to 704-802-5056. We have 22 more minutes of the show here on Black Talk Radio. So now let's take a look at the age group. Several times I mentioned mentoring programs because I have seen the survey that epidemiologist Lisa Rose Rodriguez has written, and she likes to give it to young men who are in mentoring groups because she has discovered what the ages are when people are at risk. So here's some of the statistics. Of the deaths that we just described from BPC.org, that's V like Victor, P like Paul, C like Charles.org, 20 homicides, which were 6%, were less than 18 years old, and two victims were 65 years of age or older. The average age was 31 years old. The average age was 31 years old. For homicides in which the victim-to-offender relationship could be identified, which was about 75% of these crimes, they were killed by someone they knew. 72% of these young people were killed by someone they knew. Okay? Now, the article breaks it down by state. And because we have all heard of the horrific numbers in Chicago. But again, the numbers, when done out statistically, are not as high as Wisconsin, because was that Wisconsin I talked about first? Let me double check. The numbers in Chicago, Chicago isn't ranked number one in the Black Homicide Victimization in the United States report, primarily because the number of 600 and so victims is spread over a larger population base. I want to make sure I got that clear. So Missouri is number one because Missouri is not as populated as Chicago is. That's really why you get that skew in the statistics. So in the state with the highest rate, Missouri, I'm going to give you a few of those statistics off also. I just gave you some of those statistics. 6% were less than 18 years old. The average age was 31. Two victims were over 65 years old, and that's actually an anomaly. That is outside of the pattern. The epidemiologist would call that an outlier. Now let's go to Chicago, because Chicago's in the news. And I know from reading Lisa Rose Rodriguez's epidemiology work that she has in fact reached out to large cities so that she could introduce the program, because it's low cost. Harm reduction does not mean that you're going to hire more policemen, as much of the Department of Justice money has been used for. Harm reduction means that individuals can reduce their risk of being shot or shooting someone else. So in Illinois, at the time the statistics were taken, there were 685 Black homicide victims. The homicide rate among Black victims in Illinois was 36.4. Prior to 2016, Chicago and Rockford, Illinois were the sole reporting jurisdictions that submitted homicide data for inclusion in the FBI supplementary homicide report. It's very interesting. Towns, a lot of jurisdictions or locations don't always report things the way the government would like, or they are slow to report things, or they skew the data by like leaving race off death certificates. That's what this article is addressing. In Chicago, 63 homicides, 9%, were less than 18 years old. Five victims were 65 years of age or older, but the average age was 28 years old. So what we're looking at is being able to get an intervention with these men when they are teenagers, because violent behavior as a teenager can be a predictor for violent behavior as an adult. For homicides in which the victim to offender relationship could be identified, 70% of victims, that's 89 out of 127, were killed by someone they knew. 38 victims were killed by strangers. And in another episode, we can talk about that. People who are gun advocates for homeowner use, keep that in mind. If you are an African-American male, you are most likely to be killed by someone you know, not a stranger breaking into your house. Now, this report from BPC.org also wants to talk about the circumstances. And I would love for callers to talk about their professional or anecdotal experience with gun violence. For homicides in which circumstances could be identified according to the report, 88%, that's 450 out of 514, were not related to the commission of any other felony. And this speaks to what I mentioned earlier, that that these are arguments between a group of people in the same ilk, in the same neighborhood, in the same family, etc. So we have about 16 more minutes before we're off the air. We will be back next week. My name is Angel Fall, and this is Victims to Victorious. The phone number is 704-802-5056. We are broadcasting in the Eastern Time Zone, 704-802-5056. So Illinois is a, Chicago in particular, is a hotbed of gun violence, with the average age of the victim being 28 years old, but children are not spared, because we see that there are victims who are, of course, under 18. Some of the teenagers are victims of an intentional homicide, and of course some of the children are victimized by stray bullets, which is also just as tragic. If you'd like to contribute to the dialogue, I'd like to hear from you. 704-802-5056. Call into the conference line. Some more statistics that I'm repeating so that the audience can be educated about the problem. There were 7,756 black homicide victims, in the United States in 2016. The homicide rate among black victims in the United States was 20.44 per 100,000. The most common weapon was a handgun. I'd like to hear from listeners. Do you own a handgun? Does it make you feel safer? Do you know someone who was shot with a handgun? Long gun deaths, and I'm not reading from the article, this is how I prepared for the show. Long gun deaths are not used in African American male homicides at all. The data suggests that it's so infrequent that it's statistically insignificant. Rifles, shotguns, etc. The firearm of choice is a handgun for these victims that we're talking about in these statistics. So how can we reduce this occurring. A harm reduction model means the African American males begin to realize their own value as well. If you value yourself and a person of your same stature, you are least likely to harm them. So we already know that, and I'm disclosing for listeners who might not have seen my picture, I am African American, and I know that the society doesn't value us in the way that the larger mainstream society values white people. And of course, there are even some African American people who value white lives more than themselves. They have internalized the racism and therefore don't see their value. So understanding the value of being a human being, that seems very simple. The value of being a human being and understanding how to resolve interpersonal conflicts. I'm using the language from the article published on Lisa Rose Rodriguez's LinkedIn page. She does appear to be the only African-American male that I have, only African-American person I've seen out on social media advocating for a reduction in the morbidity and mortality by vamping up interpersonal skills, which is part of harm reduction. You can also hear her lecture on adapting the interpersonal, type that into your search engine, adapting the interpersonal, reducing gun violence in Black communities. That's an interview she did earlier on the Blog Talk radio show at the Edge of Afrofuturist Salon. At the Edge, an Afrofuturist Salon, and that's hosted by Dr. Sherry Turpin. So Angel? What are...
Angel?
What? Yes.
Hi. For the listeners, this is Scotty, her technical producer. I just wanted to ask a question. You know, as we have talked offline, I'm very interested in reducing gun violence in our communities, and I want to thank you, first of all, for bringing this program and content to the Black Talk Radio Network. If I may, just back up a little bit to something that you said that I thought was very important when you were talking about internalized racism, and since we're focusing on Black males and they're likely to be shot by other Black males, of not valuing Black life. So what are some of the mechanisms in your mind that causes them to devalue Black life? Is it a societal thing? Is it a personal thing, a family thing? What's going on with individuals who do not value the life of other people who they share so many common traits with?
Oh, that's a wonderful question, Scotty, and thank you so much for asking that. One, there is a little bit of a an African fairy tale I like to tell here, or African folk tale, and one of them is that when bull elephants are orphaned, bull male elephants, pachyderms usually live in a group. But when the males are orphaned from the group and they have no other males around but other adolescent males, they begin to kill other animals, rhinos, hippopotamuses, etc. And the listeners will realize that if you remember just from grade school, an elephant is a vegetarian. And an elephant, orphaned bull males who form a group will begin to kill other mammals just because. So what is the lesson here? The lesson here is that part of this is linked to an absent male figure in the home. Many of us who are African American know that when we were down south, a family group was tighter. Urbanization loosens up the family group, and of course, the welfare policies of penalizing you for having a man in the house, etc. Those things mean that they are not good role models in the home. People my age and older used to have a granddaddy or an uncle in the house that we would see get dressed for church. A neighbor, he would have on cufflinks. He would smell like t- tobacco and cigars. He would get up and go to church, and he might have been a low-paid laborer in his job, but at church he was the deacon. So the positive African-American male models are very much absent. And then there is a jail culture in the urban black society. Some men aspire to go to jail because their friends are there. Their father is there. And so I also believe that when you're not conscious of who you are, like if you and I were to go out on a microphone with a microphone like Jay Leno style and ask some African-American men, what do they think we have contributed to the society as a group? I'm sure those in this at-risk age group I'm talking about, 18 to about 28, they would be hard-pressed to name a famous black people who invented things and contributed to our society. They would be able to name rappers, but I don't think they'd be able to name Lewis Latimer or Ernest Just or someone like that. So I hope I answered your question, Scotty. Did I or didn't I?
Yes, hello? You did.
Okay.
Yes, you did. And but I also think what you spoke of was the familial role. You know, lack of role models, absent fathers, even touching upon policy that when you talk about people who need assistance, living assistance, they call it social welfare, and policies that have been enacted to keep those males out of those households. But then you talked about, you know, not being able to name a famous black male inventor versus being able to name all the rappers. And, you know, from prior
Example.
Conversations that me and you have had, you know, that is another source, I think, of the anti-blackness is from society that sponsors music on these radio stations that you're not a black person, you're a nigga. You're not a black woman, you're a hoe. And I think people internalize that, and they adopt that as their worldview.
Exactly. I think, and again, there's no buffer here. I'm looking up to see what some of the statistics are, and of course, there's direct relationships. I found that 73.7 million American children under age 18 live in families with two parents. However, when you break it down to race, only 38.7% of African-American minors live with two parents. So the absence of a black male role model is something that I have come across, and the data is very helpful there because – and let me give you an example of exactly what I mean of someone who was caught up in here – and was missing these things and what they did. I know of a person who, when they were 12 years old, they witnessed their uncle kill the father in a domestic dispute. When they were 18, they committed a homicide. And when I asked him about this, he believed between 12 and 18 that when someone steps to you, I'm using the street language, when you have a conflict with someone, there is no arguing, there's just shooting. He lived it, he saw it, he perpetrated it, but as a 60-year-old person, he realizes that in that age frame where he was the witness to the murder, and then 6 years later he commits a murder, he had no other paradigm, Scotty. He had no other paradigm to tell him. He didn't see the father take the uncle outside and say, let's calm down, let's have a beer, let's talk about it. He just saw his uncle kill the father in the argument, and that was it. And when he argued with some teenagers later, he did the same thing. So I do, in the school, there's not a lot of hope for people who don't see other people doing better. So the concentration, there's a lot of research on the concentration of poor people. When poor and lack of and uneducated people are concentrated, they normalize their existence And they don't get to see people who are doing better. The example is simply not there. So, and the other thing about internalized racism, so many of us are living, with, it, of course, if most of us live in homes with just a single female, then we're not getting the benefit of two incomes. So many of these young people, when you talk to them, they have not really seen African-American people who are prosperous unless they watch TV and they idolize the rappers, because the rappers do, in fact, many of them come from the same circumstances, but are often showing how prosperous they were. And of course, we know many of the rappers have committed these felonies when they were young adults, even some of them now. So it is a social issue, and this is why I agree with the public health officials who believe that it's an epidemic and there are things you can do to keep yourself out of it. So, Boys and Girls Club has a very good rate of reducing incarceration rates. The Nation of Islam, although controversial, they have a very low recidivism rate. Once they get you out of jail, there is no program in the United States of America that duplicates their statistics of keeping African-American men out of jail. And part of it is the mentoring and the example. I would even say part of it is how you see them get dressed up. If they're listeners who've never seen them, when they sell those bean pies in the final call, they are dressed up a certain way. They have a certain demeanor. So I think that is really a piece that would help. And, of course, once we get more data from the surveys, and I'm looking forward to a day when epidemiologist Lisa Rose Rodriguez has been able to do thousands of these surveys. Other factors, these are the risk factors known that we're talking, will come up, and that's probably how they will get funding and the programs will be successful. I hope I answered your question, Scotty.
Yes, ma'am, you did.
Okay, we have 1 minute to go. I'm glad to take your question. If there is a someone who calls in who has something to share briefly, we will be on the air for about 60 more seconds. If you didn't get to call in, do call in next week. Follow me on Twitter. The call-in number is 704-802-5056. I'm Angel Fall. Look for me at On Air Angel. I will continue to do trends and tweet about the show till 1 p.m. Eastern Time, On Air Angel. There are other programs here on Black Talk Radio, and I'd like for you to support Scotty Reed and his mission to educate our community by giving them the information they need to change the circumstances. Thank you for listening to Victims to Victorious.